podcast?
Movie movie podcast.
Are you getting this?
Welcome, everybody, to the Movie Movie Podcast, episode number 181. I'm your host, Tiggs, and with me, back for the first time in a long time, Russ.
A trick.
And Peter.
Why haven't you called? Do you not love me anymore?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's keep going and let's get into this right now. It has been
so long.
It's been so long. In fact, we talked about this a while ago where we're like, well, we know that not everyone's going to be able to do this. Maybe we could have like some like shorter ones, with just a couple of us. It'll be fine. Like we could just do that. And then 3 months passed.
Yeah. We were hitting that a bit. I think we were always sort of bound to do this sort of lull in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, this high summer when not a lot of films come out.
Time when we look at the list that we have and it's the longest list we have literally ever had.
Yeah. You mean, the dump month that is May and July.
I mean, jeez. Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Exactly. So there's so much to get through. We had to cut half of these things off the list just so we can not be doing this until like midnight, because none of us can stay up that late anymore.
No.
But we've got a bunch to talk about. And it's kind of like, I'm actually like struggling on where to start with all of this. And I think my best inclination right now is to start with The Odyssey, because I feel like that's one of the most recent things that we've all seen. It's probably the freshest in our minds. So tell me about Mandalorian and Grogu. Why did you guys hate it? I thought it was actually pretty good.
I just wish there was an easy way to figure out where the new Jackass movie goes.
Oh, yeah, well, to
maybe
be fair.
Last?
Oh, but that's only if it's best.
Oh, true.
So first.
Yeah, you know what? Jackass, best and last. When we were watching Ephes last year, and we were watching this movie that was like really, we were almost confronting our own mortality and age in a very fun way. This is like that, but in a very depressing way.
Yeah. So I guess the kind of scuttlebutt, other than they wanted some more money, was, you know, like they were so pumped about Jackass Forever, but also that was
good movie.
A lot of that, the filming of that got fucked up by COVID. Let me know if you need me to remind you what that was.
What was that again? Is that thing that happened in Eddington?
Yeah. That lie.
Yeah.
So it got fucked up by COVID. So they all had a fun time doing it, but they didn't ever feel like they were like together.
Okay.
As much as they wanted to.
Yet they didn't call it together.
Like, oh, that's cool. If you guys want to do another one because you had such a good time, that's really great. Oh, you're saying it's the last one. That's kind of a bummer. This is. I mean, sure. Jackass movies are barely movies. This is barely a movie. This is.
But even.
Television
like,
special.
Like,
yes, and
Johnny and Knoxville like, literally is could die if he gets hit. Like he's had to stop doing all of it.
Yeah, but we also understood that in the fourth one with that bull scene that they show again.
They show like the behind it. But
which to be fair, the behind it is they wanted to get him hit by a bull, which was never like a question. Right?
Yeah, and it was like, oh, the first hit, not that good. All right, let's do it again.
In their defense, he got hit by the bull real bad.
Yeah.
So it worked.
I guess.
But like, I loved Jackass Forever.
It's so good.
And I'm, as a Ryan Dunn apologist, I didn't even know that I needed that movie to be made.
Yeah.
And
100%.
And they made it, and I was like, "Oh, that's nice. I liked it. I really
totally works.
It. Had a great time. It really worked. It was cool to see my friends again, and I never need to see them again."
Yeah.
And then they made this, and I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, what?
I'll see it."
And then
yeah.
I couldn't separate myself from the acquisition, the Skydance acquisition of Paramount, and them just and some fucking suit saying, "Bring back all of our legacy properties."
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Do it, and then just giving them $10 million to make a movie, and they're like, "But we don't have a movie." And he's like, "I don't care."
Right. You own all the footage. We own MTV. Just like, right. Just put some stuff together.
What about the stuff we couldn't air back with Jack? Why are you asking me?
Yeah, just do it.
And honestly, the way the movie opens, I kind of had high hopes with starting with the very, very
the pilot.
Never shown the
gun.
Thing that inspired the whole show with him getting shot while wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
But like, I've seen all the Jackass movies. I watched every episode of the show. Like, I was obsessed with it. This, you know, the show debuted when we were all like 13 to 15. So like
the prime right
time for us.
Yeah. Prime to love this bullshit.
And
yeah.
I owned several CKY DVDs and like,
yep. It's how I feel like the kids that are like, you know, were the same age when Ridiculousness came out. Yeah. Were just like, yeah, this is exactly what this is.
And I only ever heard of that footage. So putting it in the movie, I was like, oh, that's a really clever way of like paying homage to their history, even though I loved Jackass Forever and its whole like tackling with their legacy thing, I thought was way mm-hmm. better.
Yeah.
So, but that starts, I was like, oh, this is a really clever way of sort of maybe bookending this, especially if they're getting towards the end. And then the second they recycle stuff, I'm like,
yeah,
I don't want to watch this.
I thought that was going to be the one thing that they were going to like show that and then like kind of go to the end and just be done. Yeah. And then it wasn't. And it was like, some of these were like just in the other movies. Why are we watching this?
I just paid to watch a clip show.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't love a clip show sitting on my couch. I especially didn't like one when I went out to a movie theater.
Right.
And like, it was a clip show.
Like, there is like a, I mean, I guess there's the argument that like all Jackass movies are basically clip shows.
I would say 40% footage you've seen, 20% additional footage of skits you've seen.
Yeah.
Right.
And then maybe, no, that's even too low. Because I would say there's only probably 20% of this is brand new segments.
This movie's right. 90 minutes, and that's
yep.
counting the credits that play old shit.
Yep.
So, and the credits start around 80 minutes.
Yeah.
So there is, I'd say safely, 22 minutes of new stuff.
And to be fair, like even the 10 minutes of old shit that they're playing during the credits, they were playing old shit the 80 minutes before that too. Like, they didn't have to save anything for the credit. They could have. Right.
So me, as somebody who went to see this movie thinking I would like it, even I thought I'd like at least the new stuff.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough of it. And my thing was, this would have been a very easy opportunity to sort of pass things on to like Poopies, Jasper, Rachel,
right.
Dark Shark.
Because they're the good.
Thing. Rachel does not do one thing.
She didn't do anything. It was crazy.
He's in the Jamiroquai opening and shocks her tongue like she did in the last movie, and that's it.
Right. But openings and like, I even watched the end to see like, oh, she'll come back at the end. Rachel and Dark Shark do not, they're just hanging out.
They're in the background of like multiple things. I'm like, oh, great.
One thing.
Poopies, they're going to get involved.
Something. Jasper has like one thing and Zach has like one disgusting thing.
But and like it opens like, with like the shocking razor, the shocking with like the, what was it? Like the muscle shocking, like mm-hmm. skit. And they're like, and I was like, okay, this is like, this is fine. This is like, I guess this is cool.
But it's like, these guys are clearly so old.
Yeah.
They can't do a lot anymore.
Yep.
Which is why there's not a lot to do. So pass the torch or don't make it.
Yeah, exactly.
I would even accept if this, like, as I love the pass the baton stuff in the fourth one.
Yeah.
If this movie was having new people recreate old Jackass segments.
100%.
Like, instead of showing Steve-O doing the porta potty bungee jump,
which is such a dumb. I hate that one too.
If you had someone else do it while Steve-O gets to watch someone do this,
yeah,
that's at least a little better.
Or yes. just a bunch of new skits with the new people, and then like have them prank call all the old jackass guys throughout it, and just like see how it's going, and just like, you know, just do some cranking. I don't know. Like, there's so many ways that they could have gone around this, but it was just like so. It was just so uninspired where forever it really felt like they were just like going for it and were like, we need, like, we know that we have done stupid shit forever, but there is a legacy to that, however dumb it was. And right. This should be like our celebration of that and the friends that we have like lost along the way to like some of this stupid shit. And this just felt like, You guys busy this weekend?
Right. Yeah. I rewatched the first movie like a month before going to see this.
Oh, nice.
I'm so glad I only rewatched the first one. Because if I had, like I planned, rewatched all four before this, this would have been like a colossal waste of my time.
It would have been 22 new minutes, and that would have been it.
It sucks. And like, I just spent all of my time trying to see what the new people do. Yeah. Because I was just curious. I like everybody else. I feel like they're my buddies. As long as they're around, I'm happy. But I don't need to, like, if you're not going to do anything cool or new, don't do it. I don't need to see, and I definitely don't need to see Bam.
Like, archival
footage.
Looking, oh my God, the snake.
The worst he's ever looked.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't need that. That's a reminder of my own mortality. I'm all
exactly.
Set.
And especially, and then like, don't talk up about how Bam's in this one, and it's a cut clip from the last movie.
Yeah,
right. Shit we got mad at him about, so we didn't put it in it. In it.
And it's just like, also, it what's annoying is like, it's already annoying to do a clip show, but don't show me clips from the fourth movie that came out 3 years ago.
Like, there was, it was a bunch of DVD extras, and like, that was so
Which is weird because this is a series that does the 0.5s.
Right. Right, this would have been perfect.
Jackass 1.5 plus 2.5 plus 3.5 plus 4.5.
Ooh, oh, right. Now we're getting into Evangelion territory. Yes, and you're winning me back.
I know that they made a Jackass Forever 4.5.
Yeah.
4.5 ever.
4.75.
Yeah, ever. Yeah. All right.
That's a lot of talk about a movie.
All the movies on this list, other than like maybe the cut Supergirl, that's the biggest one that I think we are kind of like in our feelings over in this weird way of like, we felt like we're tricked.
Yeah,
I definitely felt like I was pissed.
Lied to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I
like,
agree.
It's changing my opinion of the whole franchise. And
yeah.
I know I loved them all. I loved every single one of them.
I would love if they were just there watching other people do stuff. I do not need these men to hurt themselves any more than they have for my enjoyment. But at the same time, I also do not want to get to the point in which all the Jackass stars are old and broke.
Yeah.
And talking about how much their lives are shit on like the Howard Stern show. Robo Stern. Stern will be dead by then, I'm sure.
Yeah, obviously. Yes.
He just said he's ending the show in 2028.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. So if they need money, do something. Don't do a theatrical clip show. Like, do something else. If you guys, as I said, if you guys don't do anything, like, I think we would all enjoy if you were torturing other people.
Yeah.
Like, what I didn't know they've done, and this is so much talk about a movie nobody saw. they did two separate Shark Week specials.
Yeah.
That are all of the new people. And I'm
really?
Like, oh, cool. I mean, it's everybody, but like the new people are there. Poopies, Zach, Jasper, Dark Shark, Rachel. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I didn't even know that was happening because I don't give a fuck about Shark Week. It's just a marketing campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
Ploy to get you to watch a network you would never otherwise watch.
Just watch stuff about sharks.
But, hey, like, that's fine. That might be an acceptable lane. And once I knew they did that, I was like, oh, I'd watch their Shark Week. And I don't give a fuck about that.
Totally.
This might be done as a movie. But if you want to do specials every now and again that are on Paramount Plus, so you have some exclusive content, fine. But don't fucking disrespect me like that.
All right. We're moving on, but I'll just say one before we go off of this. Isn't it weird that like Jackass kind of missed Quibi? Because it seems like it would have been perfect for like the whole Quibi mm-hmm. format. All right. Star Wars, The Mandalorian and Grogu. Everyone loved it. It's everyone's favorite movie of the year. 5 stars. Can't get enough. Give me more Mando. Give me more Grogu. Everyone hated it here, I assume, except for me, who's seen it like 3 times.
It's bad. It stinks.
It's definitely the worst.
To do. It doesn't even feel like, I guess the easy complaint is like, oh, why? This is just TV episodes. This would be bad for TV.
Yeah, like, it would have been bad for
nothing
TV too.
Happens of like anything. Like, there's no character growth or development or conflict. It is just, you're just watching, you're almost watching like a TLC episode of someone doing their job. Like, it's a documentary of a bounty hunter. It's just like, it's nothing.
It's so interesting to talk about this right after Jackass, because these movies are so similar in the sense of somebody who works in a high-rise studio said, make this movie.
It is, yeah. And I mean, yeah.
No one wanted to make this.
No.
But someone said, we've got the IP and the content booms. Do it now. They did what they could. But this is like if you stretch this out over a season, it'd be the worst season of a Star Wars show so far.
Yeah, it could. It would not have been able to last over a season.
It feels like a 4 to 6 episode season.
Yeah, they're even like chapter breaks. Yeah.
This was not the season. They rewrote.
No, they rewrote it. Yeah.
Like, got rid of the season they wanted to do, and this is something else, which is confusing because this is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but you don't like all those Babu Fricks running around?
No, I fucking couldn't care less. I'm like, you got Jeremy Allen White to...
Okay, that was the worst.
I did not understand that.
Auto-tune his voice a little bit. Like, if you're going to modulate his voice, we don't need a named actor to do this.
Right, that 100%. Also, why do we care about like a hut that's like bench pressing? Like, it's so weird. Like, it's like, that's such a weird thing. Just that
I don't.
There was so much about this that like I didn't like, and yet I've still seen it like 2 or 3 times at this point.
Yeah, because also like
the music's good.
Oh, the music is great, and the villain, the Yojimbo style like bounty hunter.
Yeah, he was cool.
He's cool. He's from Clone Wars or whatever. He's a Filoni.
He looked like a Filoni guy. And I'm not a Clone Wars person.
Neither am I.
I know enough from when they show somebody that I'm supposed to know.
Yeah.
That it's a Filoni guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get controversial.
Okay.
Even though I think this is entirely unsuccessful, this is at least the tone of Star Wars stuff I'd rather get, though.
Like kind of goof, like kind of jokey. Yeah.
Little jokey, a little goofy. There's a ton of aliens.
Yeah.
Even the movie opens.
That's true.
And there's so many aliens.
Yeah. There's like a dude in that conference scene at the very beginning that has like a pig nose.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it. And for me, I quit the man. I quit Andor.
Oh, really?
I didn't watch
season 2.
Is homework.
So good. I love season 2. It's so good.
It feels like reading in a way.
Yes.
Like, it's good. I loved season 1, but when season 2 came out, I was like, now that my life is harder, I don't think I need this.
Yeah.
It's definitely heavier than everything else, but it took me a while to finally see it, but I really, really liked season 2 a lot.
I quit halfway through season 2.
Okay.
Because I was just like so annoyed, because it wasn't like I want a fight scene, but every scene in Andor involves like 10 humans. And I'm like, this is Star Wars.
You
have these like 6 different planets and everywhere you keep finding humans. Yeah. Show me a guy with 3 arms at least. And like, so the first scene of this movie has four people in a room talking, except they're like, give that dude a pig nose.
Yeah.
In my brain, I'm like, that's Star Wars.
And it's kind of like, and they're kind of goofy as well. Like, you know, like one dude is like talking about like trying to like, they need to pay him off. And like, everyone's just kind of like looking at each other in like a very like funny off kilter way. And like, I really enjoyed like the tone of that opening. Yeah. I enjoyed, there's a lot about this movie that I enjoyed. And then there's a lot about it that just felt unnecessary.
Yeah. I don't need the CGI creatures.
No.
But there's like a Cajun puppet voiced by Stephen McKinley Henderson in this movie, who's like this like weird Cajun crocodile man.
Yes. Oh, just like, he's great.
Y'all, you want some fish? And I'm like, this rules. This that, is the that best ruled. Star Wars thing I've seen in a very long time.
Way better than the fully CGI Martin Scorsese.
Yes. Oh, my God. 100% yes. But like, I don't know. It's just like,
this, especially when he's like Mr. the I can say, only I can say what's cinema and what isn't. I'm like, really? Really, my guy?
Still? Okay. Lost that card.
I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
and he's like, this isn't.
I won't exactly stick up for Marty's words there. I think he got a little more hate than needed. But it's yeah, but him I'll take. It the making fun of Timmy Chalamet for the ballet thing, I think is so fucking stupid. I don't think you actually listened to a word he said.
Yeah.
Except he said like ballet and you're like, you fucking what? Like,
yeah.
I hated that so much. But yeah, the Marty Duff stuff is stupid. Yeah, I just like make people aliens, make them weird little guys. Like,
yeah.
And you know what? They could be important. They could like aliens can be silly. Aliens can be tough guys. Aliens can be serious people. Just make them fucking aliens. Like, it's
again, lots of aliens in this one. Lots of aliens in this one.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, yeah. And as I said, I would say if Andor had like 20% more aliens. If like
that sounds like a studio note.
Yeah, I mean, I would like that more. But I guess it is cheaper. You don't have to pay for makeup and all that shit. But like, you're doing stuff in the volume. Like,
yeah,
you have the money. Make someone a little puppet. And you know,
yeah, like, it's not like Star Wars is hurting for money at any given time. No, like, you know,
no.
Like, well, I guess this did kind of tank, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, like Andor would have like its seventh scene of what's her face. Mon Mothma going to a party with seven different types of alien representatives and they're all humans. I'm like, give one guy a weird head. I fucking beg you.
Yeah.
Make someone a big long head. Make some guy really short. Make some guy have ears that are fucking feet. I don't care. Just do something. This is driving me insane. So as I said, if you want to do things more Star Wars shit, I'd rather it be more towards this needle, that like the needle leans more this way than it does to Andor, and I think that's very unpopular.
Yeah, I love aliens. Like I don't think that, like, I love Andor. I also love all the alien stuff in Star Wars. I love the setting and the feeling and the vibe and everything. And like, whether it is like kind of just like a resistance thing versus like having a full-on alien, like, you know, crazy like monster workshop type stuff. I'm in for all of it. So it's still the only thing, for whatever reason, that unlike say like Marvel, that got like so oversaturated that I just like I groan whenever a new movie comes out, and yet still go see it. I don't groan when the new Star Wars stuff happens. I'm like genuinely excited, and then I come out of it and like at worst I'm just like, I guess that was okay. Because like I just that is like all I will be allowed to do. I literally have a Grogu and Mandalorian like little figures on my desk right now. I just see as I'm like talking about all this. So let's keep it going. You know what? On that note, Spider-Man, Brand New Day. What did y'all think of Spider-Man, Brand New Day?
It was confusing, confusing and frustrating for me.
I didn't really understand why it happened now. Why it was coming out now.
Yes.
This could have been any time. Like, I have been unenthusiastic about Doomsday. Like, it's like, fine, it's coming. I understand, I guess. Like, you've had a couple of movies. It feels like we're about to hit some big you know, big like inflection point again. And like, I don't really know what the buildup has been to it. Like, it doesn't really feel like there has been. Cause like, because yeah. like, what was it? Fantastic Four was like boring as all hell. The other one, I can't even remember the name of it, was boring. And so Thunderbolts was boring.
Asterisk, New Avengers.
Yes, exactly. And then I was like, okay, but there's a Spider-Man. I like a Spider-Man. We're always in for Spider-Man. Great. Let's bring us. We're going to get excited for Doomsday. We're going to bring us into Spider-Man. And then this happens and it just ends. And I'm like, but where's the Dooms? What? Why is this happening right now?
That's my confusion and my frustration of like, I don't want to watch a movie and try to think about what the boardroom deal was.
Right. Yeah.
So it's confusing that this movie feels like a Spider-Man movie and doesn't care about what happens next in Doomsday. But at the same time is like, we're also going to introduce X-Men here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just like, why? Like who does this benefit?
Yeah.
Cause it doesn't feel like it benefits Sony. And it doesn't. And it
can
feel like it benefits Marvel, and I don't. So I don't understand who this is for. And then while I'm watching a movie, and that's what I'm thinking, I'm like, "Well, this is stupid. Why am I? This isn't how you enjoy something."
Yeah, and just because like, it's been so long, and like all of this has been like culminating to whatever. And I think that Sadie like Sink is decent as Jean.
Yeah. I think it's. There's so much studio in this movie in
yeah.
the sense
yeah.
of they were like
but for what purpose? It's the frustrating
because
part.
they want to keep
yeah.
you on the teat because they know
yeah.
the multiverse isn't working. They know Doomsday may not be what the kids are looking for, so let's take the guy who can't miss Spider-Man
yeah.
Yeah.
to introduce the world that also shouldn't miss. And after this, I don't think we're getting very much in the way of like Marvel outright. I think it's going to be like 1992, 93 all over again, where every comic was X-Men and every now
yeah.
and again there was something else. It's just
yeah.
X-Men and Spider-Man and mm-hmm. everybody else. Like, I used to think the Avengers were so lame growing up. Because
yeah.
I grew up in the early 90s when
it was X-Men. Chris Claremont
X-Men
was writing
it.
Yeah.
Jim Lee came out, like X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold. And I was like, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Hell
in my
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
And that was my entry point for, that was like basically my entry point for comics. So
well, it wasn't until Ultimate
else.
Avengers came out, like what, in like 98, 99, 2000, something like that.
Yeah.
That's when like actually like that started to
yeah,
like mean
like,
something.
Post Avengers Disassembled.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's when that all got interesting again,
but also,
and like
that new Avengers lineup was like Wolverine, Spider Man.
Yeah, it was basically like
the
X Men, Spider Man.
Yeah, the two people who can do no wrong.
Yeah.
So I am an X Men stan hard.
Love X
Men. And I think they know that.
Yeah.
I think they know everybody, even X Men 97, which season 2, not that good, but
really,
I
haven't seen.
Oh,
it.
I've been enjoying it. It feels
watched,
a little scattered.
Yeah,
you can
it.
Tell that there that the narrative thread
yeah.
from the person who wanted to make it is not there.
Yeah, I get that.
It's every episode
it's
is
very
good.
Scattered.
Every
yeah.
episode is very good, but there's every episode is a vacuum.
Yeah, it feels like it's serving like six masters. Like,
but like even when X-Men is bad, it's better than anything
yep.
they've done.
Right.
So I think they're just like, here, Spider-Man, remember when right before the Krakoan Age, they made a Spider-Man and the X-Men comic book, and it lasted for like 4 seconds,
yeah.
and then it got canceled. I think they're just like, fuck it, Spider-Man, can you do the heavy lifting to make X-Men matter?
And like, and there are like genuinely good parts to this
sure.
as well. Like everything of Tom Holland, like being old.
Yes.
Being like, got to do some push-ups, got to stretch.
Sequence,
I was like, that's funny.
What's so frustrating with everything we talked about, there's a sequence that is just pure Sony Spider-Man movies in which it's Spider-Man in Ned and MJ's apartment
in his
full
scene?
Suit. And he's like, no, he's hanging
oh,
out
yes.
building Legos with Ned. And I'm like, this scene is incredible.
Yeah.
I love this moment. These three have such incredible chemistry. It's so heartwarming. You get to see Peter, even in kind of disguise and secret, like enjoying time with his best friend, like especially after you've like spent so much time, like him being sad about losing MJ, you really see the hole in his life about not having Ned.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. And
they're just, that scene I think is incredible. And that's just Sony.
That has nothing to do with Marvel.
It has nothing to do with the future about where they're going. It's just what they have.
And the ending, the snap out or whatever, however they're going to play the Ned thing. I was like, genuinely like, that's great. I'm really happy about this. Because of that, you're right. Like a lot of it is that like Ned relationship and the play of like MJ, like not remembering. And then like all of the Jean Grey stuff, like around that too, I thought like worked pretty well. Like that was a good, like it became blatantly obvious at some point, but I was still like, okay, yeah, this is what he would be feeling right now. I guarantee, like almost definitely, like if you're in this situation with, you know, the most powerful mind, you know, controlling person in the galaxy. Mm-hmm. And again, there are genuinely like funny parts to this. You can like all three of them between like Zendaya and Tom Holland and I'm just going to call him Ned, that are, they're really good. They're just how much time passes even in like the intro where they like literally go through all of college. So like four years pass in the intro credits. I think that there's like, that's like, it's pretty good. It's pretty fun. But still, it just felt like, I don't know, like it just felt like empty calories, like at the end of the day.
I don't know if it's Sony or Marvel that is like allergic to making a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
But somebody refuses to make a Spider-Man movie.
Which is confusing.
This is as close as they got. Like they gave us everything you would want. They just yada yada the Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
And that's so weird because Daniel Destin, whatever.
Yeah, I forget.
He can make a Spider-Man movie in his sleep. It is apparent. He can do it.
Agreed.
He just didn't get to because this is Marvel, and the best you could do was like get more practical sets and get more practical effects and get more actual people in suits and less gummy bear CGI.
And they gave you some money to really shoot some beautiful New York City footage over the credits
in Scotland. Mm-hmm. So like he got to do a lot more than not Mark Webb, but John Watts. He got to do a lot more than John Watts has gotten to do.
Yeah.
But he still didn't get to make a Spider-Man movie. And this movie is making all of the money.
Bank.
So it's like, what do you guys think will happen if you just make a Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
It's confusing because it's made
so much money.
In my head, I was like, I think Doomsday is going to do bad. And now this feels like Doomsday is going to like be
the biggest movie.
It's going to be huge.
But I think Doomsday might kill Marvel, though, if it's not careful. If that movie sucks and it's like they don't kill all the Fox X-Men in the opening 15 minutes,
which
is what it should be.
If they ecstatics this, I'm super into it. I'll be honest. If they ecstatics this shit, I'm so there.
But everything we've seen needs to be a giant red herring, and it needs to be everything in the trailer is the first 15 minutes, and all of the old people die, and that's that. And let's get us to a new point. If it's anything other than that, while you're announcing the new cast of X-Men in two years, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I saw Dune 2, I saw Dune 2 opening day, and it was kind of the premiere of that Steve Rogers will return.
That was that
played after Nicole Kidman at the theater. So the only reason why I saw it, because I came in for Nicole and then a fucking trailer still played.
Well, obviously you came in for Nicole. Who doesn't?
And this was a opening day, sold out Lincoln Square IMAX, and that Avengers trailer ended and no one reacted.
No.
No one reacted.
It's not, and even, and they're still trying to play it off like, oh, do you know who grabs Thor's hammer? Like, we know. We know. We've all been there.
Yeah.
We know what's happening here. And no, I don't care. Yeah, I do not care. Yeah. All right, let's move on. I can't. All right. I want to knock out a couple of these duos. So, Pete the Furious, it was awesome. It was super good. So frenetic, so fast-paced, awesome fight scenes.
There's a dude in this who's like playing the, well, I might not be as good of a fighter. I'm just really big and strong character.
Oh, he's so good
at it. But his fighting style is like a bullfrog.
Yeah.
And it's something I've never seen before. Hmm. And it was so exciting. It was it was just incredible, choreographed at every moment. And in there's no way to talk about this movie without, in the end, at the ending fight sequence is a 2v2v1.
That's such a good fight. It's so good. Cause like the villain or who everyone is facing just keeps swapping throughout the entire thing.
And no one really teams up in this way that you're like, you're kind of watching and be like, these dynamics will change. And they do not. It is 2v2v1 in the weirdest way. And it is a combination that I've never seen before. I was blown away by this.
It was such a good, and when he shows up during, cause it doesn't start as 2v2v1.
Yeah.
And then just like blasts in and I like, oh, it was such a wild time. It was so good.
It was a choreography in a way I've like never seen before. Like how much logic that fight scene made the entire time, like who was fighting who and what way and why did, and like, it was, I don't know how you write that choreography, how you plan that out. It was incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
Oh yeah, I was the entire thing from like the beginning to end, and I think that one of like the best, or I always will like really like latch onto somebody running like really fast after something, and this dude felt like he was like running really fast throughout the entire time, and like the opening scene, or not the opening scene, but like the kind of like the kickoff,
yeah
when they take his daughter and he knows where his daughter is and like he knows that his daughter is in the truck and there are people that are getting in his way. And his whole thing is like, I don't need to beat these people up. I just need to get past them because I need to get to that truck where my daughter is. Just made so much sense to me as like, that's the motivation. It is like, they'll get to me, like, we'll get us up later. Don't care. I need to get to that truck no matter what. And I thought that was like a great motivation and like, and just kind of like an issuing of it that I hadn't really like, I feel like in most other like action movies, they would have been like, nope, we're going to have like a 4-minute fight scene right now or whatever. And it's just like, I need to get past you.
Yeah, agreed.
What did you, all right. Tell me your thoughts on Disclosure Day.
It's one of those movies. I'm completely blown away by this. I was especially blown away by my own emotional reaction to the ending.
Okay. Ending's great. Ending's really good.
I was deeply affected emotionally by where this movie ends up in a way that I was just like, I wasn't expecting to cry this much watching this. And I don't really know. I don't think most people would be crying right now watching this, but there's just something about it that just like floored me both times I saw this.
Mary Ellen was also the same way, like about like kind of like the whole ending sequence and like what happens there and like where, like the location about it all. It was...
And for like 20 minutes for me.
Yeah. I had unfortunately fallen asleep for 20 minutes right before that ended the first time I saw it. So it was a late movie.
Yeah. I would say see it again. I've seen it twice.
Okay. I do want to see it again. I really enjoy like everything that I'd seen up until then. Like everything. Just like, yeah. Whether it be like kind of like all the stuff that's kind of happening behind the scenes or like, you know, the agency that's after them, like the actual like footage that they go to of like when they show you what the aliens look like and everything that's going on. And I was like, I'm into all of this. I really enjoy how everything's going right now. Like I like the pairing of those two together. I, it felt like and again, like some of these like bigger action set piece moments, like the train thing, like it, like everybody felt exhausted after doing it. And I was just like, yeah, that's how I would feel. So
it felt very real. I get reactions from people that don't love this. I don't understand reactions to people from people like this who like thought it was unbelievable or like this. And I'm just like, that's, it's, it wasn't, it's not real. You know, guys know that, right? Like, this movie begins with a pro wrestling match. Like, it never tried to claim it was anything but a little silly at times. And I think what, like, when it does all this stuff, it is a fairy tale. Like,
yeah.
And if you're not, like, if you're not watching it in that sense, if you want it to be more real, like the stupid fucking people that are complaining about inaccuracies in the Odyssey, like, go fuck yourself.
Well, that's the dumbest thing in the world.
Like, oh, you mean in like a story that's been told for 2,000 years?
I just like, need people to engage with the art they're watching, not with the thing they thought they were going to go see.
And like, but obviously everyone who has problems with this are like scholars of this like lyrical poem that is 2,000 years old. And like, you know, read it and like, you know, this is all they talk about.
You have to watch the movie and ask yourself, what is this director wanting me to feel, see, and believe?
Yeah.
If you fight against that, you are not watching a movie. And it drives me insane how that's how most criticism is a lot of these days, especially online criticism. And it just, it drove me insane for this was like, this movie never pretended to be like completely 100% this is how something would happen. It was supposed to be fanciful in some way. Like, there's a literal Hansel and Gretel cottage in this movie. Like,
yeah,
this was supposed to be a fairy tale.
Right. 100%.
You know, it's really obnoxious of all that. I don't know, but I absolutely love this film.
I need to rewatch it
again on this. I'm going to assume that we will not be talking about this for Oscars. I think this will be a weird,
probably not. Yeah,
but I think Emily Blunt's incredible.
She's really good.
Coleman.
She's standout in this. She kills it in this. Yeah.
Loved it. All right. Absolutely loved it.
And Oak Street, very quickly, I saw it last night. It's very, very good. I did not fall asleep during it. And it's like, yeah, I know, like that's so rare. So 5 stars. Very, like, just a good, like, monster movie, you know, like, I definitely seen comparisons to Spielberg, and I feel like most of the time the characters in Spielberg movies are having fun at times. Like, even in Jurassic Park, they are having fun for at least some amount of time. The people in this are not having fun at any given time. They're just in a monster movie and they're just like, holy shit, we're all gonna die soon. And that feels very real. There's some generally shocking moments, and I think that it's really good. I highly recommend checking it out. Teenage Death and Sex at Camp Miasma.
Don't say a lot.
I was super into it.
I loved it. For me, like, I was expecting something weird. Having seen both of Jane's previous films and knowing, like, they're a director that threatens to be normal with a story until they absolutely will not.
Yeah.
And this one kind of threatens to go in a simpler way and completely veers in a different direction halfway through with it.
Yeah.
That I went along for that ride and had a great time.
Yeah. I definitely like TV Glow. More. And maybe just like, kind of like, if you think of, like, I feel the source material of TV Glow being very much, you know, like an Are You Afraid of the Dark, with this being more of like a Friday. I mean, not just Friday the 13th, but like, you know, Friday the 13th, X-Files type of stuff where I was. Yeah. And I was all into Are You Afraid of the Dark. Hit something in me, that movie. And while this one is definitely like on the cusp of that, I think that it's really good. It hits really hard. When it's funny, it's hilarious. When it's like, when it's super meta, I also really liked it. Oh my God, the Counting Crows sequence is amazing. It's definitely like a go out and see it. It's hard to describe in a lot of ways without just being like, just go and check it out, because it's whatever you think it is, it probably is and it isn't, because it is so like more, kind of wild.
It really feels more personal than I was expecting to. It almost feels more personal than like TV Glow would.
Yeah, for sure.
Less knowing about the director, like, oh, TV Glow is very personal to you. It was like, this one feels like even more about you in this way.
Yeah.
Like, might turn off people that were expecting more of a straight horror bend throughout.
Yes. Which it really is not. There are moments, but like a lot of it is very much about like the making and the legacy of like some of these things. And then also just like how you relate to it and like the people that you relate to from. It's really interesting. It's really cool. I want to see it again just because I feel like there is so much, there's going to be a lot of depth that I definitely was probably just like waiting for, like, I don't know, the next crazy like actual like crazy moment to happen instead.
For me, this is going to be a movie that I will most likely be harping on in terms of like, why don't movies like this get production design?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Great design, like across the, but like the great painted backdrops throughout it too. Like, oh, so good. All right, let's do the twofer. Let's do Obsession and Backrooms. Pete, which one did you prefer?
Ooh, great question. I'm not really sure. I'm sorry that your segue got ruined.
All right, moving on to Russ. Russ, which one did you prefer?
I think that Obsession has better performances and Backrooms is more interesting.
Okay. I love Obsession. I was like, okay, on Backrooms.
I love Backrooms.
I think I liked Obsession.
I've seen Backrooms more.
Okay.
But I also am like very into that idea.
I love Obsession. I think that Obsession was like hilarious. I think that it was so well done, so well made, especially with like the little budget that it have. Backrooms made me discover how calming I find liminal spaces.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was like, this doesn't seem so bad. I could deal with this.
Something about that like early 90s pre coffee shop aesthetic.
Yep, exactly. I was just like, yeah, I'm into this. Yeah,
Backrooms. I enjoyed the visual of it. I bounced off the attempts at like past trauma that it was sprinkling. Like, I don't care about her mom.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Or her youth and all that. Like, I don't know where that's supposed to really come in or make a big deal for this.
The pirate monster I thought was funny.
Yeah.
More than it, and I don't know. I did think that the like the kind of foam inside of it was very creepy. But other than,
and the best part, you can eat them.
That was super weird. That was super weird that I liked.
Scene, I'm like, there, like, we need way more Oscars because. I think there needs to be an Academy Award for best freaky thing a guy says in a movie.
That's 100% the
most. That should be nominated and it should win.
Yeah.
But I loved both of these movies and like they were the two that I didn't really start going to the movies till I had time to do so.
Makes sense.
Obsession and Backrooms were the two that I was like, I have to see these movies that are in conversation with each other.
Yeah.
And
came out so close to one another, so, and they are within still the same,
within a week.
Yeah.
And they're both, they're fresh and they're fun. They're awesome. Indy Navaretti in Obsession, as I was watching it, I was like, is she going to get a nomination?
She should, because she is so good. Just for that smile.
This movie, like, that shouldn't happen. And I love that that we're even asking the question now.
Yeah.
I think it actually might happen.
She's amazing.
It's cool to know that, like, I don't know, maybe the Z's are okay.
Yeah, like, so, like, between what? Like, the 20 and 23-year-old made both of, like, for, like,
a 20... of these movies, and they're my favorite movies.
And, like, one of them cost $1 million to make, and the other one was, like, $15 million or something, like, at most?
Not even. The combined, I think, total of the of these movies was, like, $11 million to make.
That's crazy.
Like almost 600.
That's insane. And so awesome to see. And to be like, oh, they're like the whole Like David Fincher was doing music videos, and like, you know, like that's how like a lot of like directors would like kind of get their start doing things like that. And now it's like directors are getting their start doing YouTube shorts and videos, and like, where will the next ones come from? I'm excited to see what happens next with this. And like, it's all horror at this point too, which is interesting. It's all like,
and like horror with a fuckload of mythology.
Yes.
Do you know, Backrooms was on 29 theater. It was in 29 theaters this past weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it the new Backrooms that has like, it's like bigger and longer and uncut with like a little bit more shit?
So, but that's only supposed to be after the credits. Like they added a bunch of stuff after the credits into it. Okay. Yeah. I was reading about that, 'cause I was like, should I go see this again? And they're doing a special midnight screening of Obsession at TIFF this year, just to be like,
so cool.
Yeah. So, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I have more problems with Backrooms. That's where I would say I like Obsession more without really truly loving Obsession. I think it's kind of one note, but it's one note is this incredible performance by Indy Navarette. Like,
yeah.
And in a sense that like, I think every young director should be able to do a very one note calling card. This is what I'm capable of kind of feature.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Do like a 3-hour, I can do everything display.
Yeah. I love how like that movie is like bleak as shit. And you're like, and just as, and you're like, I wonder like if they'll make it out okay. And like, no, everything is so much worse for everybody by the end of like all of this in the same way, in like some way.
I really Obsession bumped up a ton for me when he calls the hotline the first time.
So good. Yes.
And we hear her screaming in hell or wherever she is. I'm like, oh, if they lean into this part of it, I am way more interested. And they only kind of
a little
dip
bit
their toes into what she's going through throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that makes a rewatch better, knowing she's kind of trapped in there.
Yeah. Well, I think that is the whole thing. Like, to me, like, just going in, like, figuring out, like, it took me a little bit too long to understand like how, like, oh, I'm watching the villain. Bear is the villain. Like, Bear is the villain of this whole movie. Like, he's the bad guy, but we're following him around. And now I want to go back and watch it, just being like, I need to hate this person from the moment I see him going forward.
Oh, yeah. He's such a fucking pussy. Like,
yeah.
He's the worst dude. He sucks. He's got zero inertia.
Yep.
And like, it's just so fun and interesting to watch the villain be such a bitch.
Yeah.
And like, not a capital V villain. We don't have enough of those. And I think that movie succeeds in like showing you what it looks like to be just like a gigantic pussy.
Yeah. And Obsession. And Backrooms, like, I think my biggest problem with it is, I feel like it's meaning to do this, where it is meaning to make you feel like uncomfortable and like kind of like make you feel out of place. But I do feel like there are like large swatches of this thing that are missing that would have made it all feel like more connected in the long run. And I know then, and I'm sure that is like the point, is that you are in this like space that you can't really like determine, and like they are moving both through a physical space that is like that, and you're also kind of moving through like this space of like the movie and like their minds that are like it as well. But it made it feel a little bit more disconnected. I do want to see it again though. I will say, like, I think that it'll be a fun rewatch regardless.
Oh, 100%. Like they're so fun, and the fact that we're like a stone's throw away from the fall.
Yep.
And
this movie's been out
season.
It came out like the week after our last podcast.
Yeah. And we get to like watch him again in the dark.
I can't wait for that.
Spooky season. I'm like super pumped.
I'm all in.
This is like my last Halloween season where I don't have to, you know, not be a parent.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
There you go. Mark it on the calendar.
Year one, you get to do whatever you want.
Right. Dress him up like a giant foam pirate if you want to. All right, the invite. What did y'all think? It's good. It's very
loved
good.
It.
Really great.
It's weird that a movie can hit close to home when it's not act actively hitting on anything that is close to home.
Yeah.
But that was the invite.
With Seth Rogen's casting, I was very nervous that we were just going to watch like a dopey guy get shit on for like an hour and a half.
Yep.
And like, in one of those things, like everything he says and does is wrong and stupid and pigheaded in this. And 90% of what he does is wrong and pigheaded and stupid, but it allows him to not be wrong at every moment.
Yep. Right.
I like that I was worried that it was going to like hoist up Olivia Wilde's character as this like perfect person who's trying to live life with Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Like the minute she was wrong about something, I was like, okay, we're not playing
one-sided here.
That's what this was going
to
be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be clear, this isn't misogynism talking.
No. You think three men of a certain age are going to talk about misogyny? Yeah.
Nope.
Please.
This is just
like, not in this day and age.
This is just how like every 90s sitcom worked.
Right.
And I didn't want to watch that.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested in that. So when their relationship was a great deal more complicated.
Yeah.
They both are greatly flawed people. They both were given small victories and big losses and all this stuff throughout. And I liked how complex and deep their relationship was.
Yeah.
Going through the entire movie. I was floored by that. I even like that they give Edward Norton a time to be kind of a dumb.
Yeah.
His
nickname, his whole Hawk thing. Like I thought it was all very well. Like it is just such a great character dressing, character study movie that like, because it is a bottle movie, you know, like with the exception of like the beginning when Seth Rogen's like at class or then like biking home.
But that's like the credits. It doesn't even really count.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Everything else there in the apartment. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's so simplistic in that way. And it is just like so much like it was so funny to watch it all because like I went into it just thinking like, oh, this will be fine. Like it'll be cute. And like, it was so much deeper than I was expecting it to be while still like, again, like you were saying, he's wrong like 90% of the time. And I was just like, I do that. So
it's very interesting to like watch somebody that I'm like, this movie is saying this guy is wrong, you know, on a whole, not
but, like, right.
He's more wrong than she's wrong. And if I identify with him, I guess I can answer the rest of my questions. I think I got a little work to do.
Yeah, but exactly.
The addition of Sade's By Your Side.
So good. Oh my God.
There is no better artist to be in this movie.
Yep.
Than she. I don't know. It's just good, man. It's just a good adult movie.
Yeah. Like, it's something that you don't really see that much very often, like anymore, like coming to movies, coming like to
and
to,
it dropped like, a theater online experience. Like almost immediately.
Yeah, it came and went.
Weird. Like,
yeah.
It
yeah,
did
yeah.
okay. Like, it, they only gave it like three weeks.
Yeah.
3 weekends in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I saw it like right when it came out.
Yep.
And it's been on streaming for like 10 days now.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy how quickly it came. Like a huge word of mouth, limited to wide release type of rollout, I think could have worked really, really well in its favor. And it's weird to not attempt that.
There's also people who have followings too. Like Edward
Norton
doesn't do a lot unless there's like something to it.
Yeah.
Penelope Cruz has been up in the awards convo.
She is Olivia so good Wilde in this movie too.
Like a new voice. Like how did they
such a great directorial like
this movie do more in theaters? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I think Penelope Cruz might be like top three living actors right now.
She's fantastic in this.
The performance in this is amazing. Incredible. It's just so good. Like how quickly she's able to like turn and like throughout the entire thing and like just oh my God. It's yeah. Oh, this was like good acting, like great acting all around for incredibly deep and complex characters throughout the entire thing. And like so very well written, very well played.
It's, and I it's I was nervous at first because of how big Olivia Wilde was playing it.
Yeah.
With her also being the director. And I'm just like,
yeah.
So this is something you're choosing twice to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this going to fit? And then it really fit that character so well by the end of it. I think there's like some beautiful moments with her in which that really works. There's a moment in which like when Edward Norton and Penelope Cruz are like unveiling what they're up to. And she excitedly says like, oh, and like DP. And Edward Norton's like, well, we don't really do any of like, we kind of stray away from the porn tropes. And she looks defeated.
It's so good.
She has this incredible look of like, that says so much like, oh, is my desire gross? Am I like not, is what I want not real? Am I fucked up by porn? And oh, am I not like, am I not this or that? And I was like, this moment's fantastic.
And like, and the quiet moment at the very end of just like at the piano is, I think, just such like this like beautiful, like, cause you don't really know what will happen after these credits, but I think that that is like, you know, something to kind of like discuss where you think that like the relationship will head. But I do, but I think that that was like this, like this, like, you know, glimmer to me of like hope that like really happened there, of just something that had been talked about the whole time. You could also see it as like kind of like the fire fading fully as well. Kind of depending on how you want to, how you want to read that.
Also like almost like a, like a threatening the end dot 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 well, because like you could also look at it as like, oh, I don't think you should do what you might be threatening to do right now,
right
I
exactly
think should, I think you should rewind 5 minutes ago to how you were feeling then and go down that road.
But there are also so many moments throughout it where like, where they'll like, you know, they'll be talking in the room and then they'll go into a room on like by themselves and they'll be so excitedly talking like they're like two best friends that you're like, yeah, this is, it's still there. Like, I don't know.
It is still there, but it's not there. And it's so interesting. And you have to ask yourself, like, is it not there? Like, their kid isn't there and that's a huge part of their lives. Like, would it be different if they were? Like, not in this instance, but like, would their relationship?
It would definitely be, it would definitely be different in this instance if their kid was there.
But like, I don't know, it just it asked a lot of questions in a mature, fun way without being super duper heavy-handed.
And
I respected that.
Okay, speaking of being heavy-handed, let's talk about the Odyssey.
You know, only, you know, a handful of people have seen it. It's only the highest grossing R-rated movie ever.
So
I am. Crazy. I could not tell you how happy I am that that award does no longer goes to Deadpool and Wolverine.
Which I watched. God. I watched it 2 days ago.
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, because I was just like, really? This movie happened, and I like. It felt like a fever dream because that movie is nothing. It's, so yeah, I was like, let's see if I can get through it. I could. I had to fast forward a bunch. Yeah.
That's so funny.
I did like the remix of Like a Prayer.
Oh, totally. That always was great.
Cool. But the movie is absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Talking about
Not the Odyssey. The Odyssey is great.
Not the Odyssey. The Odyssey is, and I'm like not a Nolan guy. Like,
right.
I think he makes a lot of movies that are pretty good.
We've all talked about Interstellar on this podcast.
Somewhere along the way, he like figured out a hack for emotion.
Yeah.
And
can't be your like ghost.
How to make it happen in movies. And I didn't, as much as I liked The Big Bomb, this
movie, Oppenheimer?
Yeah. I couldn't think of the name of it. I thought this movie was fantastic.
It's so well done and so like, just like everything about how well it's paced, how well it moves, like the story that's
it's
like
long
going
as
on.
Fuck, and it it's doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it. I saw it twice, and like it just moved both times. I saw it at like 11 p.m. the first time,
and I was insane.
And like again, like fell asleep at Disclosure Day at like an 8 p.m. showing. This I did not fall asleep during at an 11 p.m. showing, and it was just so like everything felt so like don't get me wrong, like super fantastical but also incredibly well grounded, and that was like them not having the gods be a part of it was like, yeah. So like that was like great choice. Don't have them there. This is this human is shit. Humans fucked up. This because is what humans have to fucking do.
Yeah, you could argue for a while whether or not Zendaya is Athena.
Yeah.
And you could. I think both people are right, but the movie's more interesting when she's not.
Yeah, exactly.
And the movie, like, this is what an adaptation should be.
Yes.
Don't make something unless you have a perspective.
Right.
Because if you're just making the thing that already exists, you're
what's
not
the point?
Doing anything.
Right.
There's no point.
Yeah.
This movie takes something we have heard for literally 2,000 years, or heard for
more,
probably, yeah, 5,000 years,
yeah,
read for 2,000, and adapts it to a particular
every story, the hero's journey, literally. Of storytelling, yeah, you know,
right. Like,
we saw this done by the big two, Wishbone and Armada Sante.
And I love the Amar and Desante.
Yeah,
Amar and Desante,
so good.
Like, yeah, 20, almost 30 years ago.
God, I remember when NBC was doing like that, and they did like that Shining miniseries and stuff. Oh, those were the
that Merlin.
ABC, oh, that was ABC. Oh,
ABC always did Stephen King.
Yep.
NBC, yeah, did big stuff like Gulliver's Travels.
Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah, is it Ted Danson Gulliver's Travels?
Yes.
And then with Sam Neill Merlin?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Like, they were into more mythology, but ABC was more straight up
Kingology. King. Yeah. Yeah.
And needless to say, this movie fucking rules. John Leguizamo deserves
his glory.
He has to get a nod.
He's been given. Samantha Morton, if we're going to give Judi Dench an Oscar for 4 seconds of a movie almost 30 years ago, Samantha Morton right now, I'm not saying she needs to win.
Oh, great question. Is she my leader?
She damn sure needs to be nommed. This movie, and my man, Ludwig, is about to get, what, his third Oscar?
But that dude is a machine that produces music.
That
runs on Oscars.
Soundtrack is so damn good.
He might be AI.
Yeah,
probably. To be fair,
in a way, but like good AI. Like he knows exactly
at the same time
what should be happening.
You don't get a name like Ludwig, and then you don't create like some of the best.
Right. Like, think about it. Like, Sinners, Oppenheimer, this, everything he's done for Star Wars.
Yep.
This dude. The Creed stuff, he does it. Black Panther, he doesn't miss.
So good. Yep. Everything about this, it's crazy how like, and this is just kind of, I guess this is just kind of the Nolan style. If you think even like to, I don't know, like I guess all of his movies in a lot of ways, they feel the soundtrack propels them so well that you never feel like there's a lull in anything that's going on. Even if there is a lull in the action, you are just like still like super into it. It's like you're watching like an incredibly long like music video in some ways, just because of how much the music propels you throughout the entire thing.
But you
never feel tired.
Yeah, which is a wild compliment to either him and or Nolan, because Nolan definitely has a weird editing style and pacing style of how he messes with time and how he goes from one timeline and one story to another part. And yet the music connects those things in a way that you don't feel like it's skipping around.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because if you wrote out a scene by scene, like if you made this movie and wrote it out like audio tracks, and like, so this opening scene is here in the timeline, and then it's here, and then it's here, and then it's here, and then it's here, it would look insane.
Yeah.
And yet somehow the music does not like feel out of place anywhere.
Oh my God. And then, like the like everything about Agamemnon, like never seeing Agamemnon's face, that entire like love it, Benny Safdie, you know, from the second
is what you're gonna do when you leave Josh. Cool,
yeah,
man,
cool, like, go for it, because he was the one of the Koopas in the Super Mario Galaxy,
he was Koopa Jr.
He was Koop June.
Coop June, John Bernthal. I mean, the Punisher himself. Once like killing it in those scenes as well, just like
Robert,
everything.
And like Robert Pattinson.
What a good shit.
John Leguizamo, ditto for fucking Robert Pattinson.
Robbie P. Just hate him. Hate him so much. And like the fact that he is like,
memed like crazy right now. Oh, he's beggars out of here.
Oh, so good. Like, yeah, this is, I feel like this is so just like such an easy, like it's so easy to just like sit back and enjoy this movie and just like let it wash over you as much as you want.
I normally bristle a little bit against a movie that is so clearly going to like win everything.
Yep. Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know.
Fine with
you,
it.
You find me the reason why it shouldn't.
Right.
I'll be the slight wet blanket about this movie. This is a movie that I think is way better than I like it. I think this movie's like incredibly well done, looks fantastic, acting, music, all of that stuff is so good. Yeah. I just don't love it as a whole.
My least favorite part of this movie, and it's weird because he's good, is Matt Damon.
Really? Interesting. He's
not my Odysseus. He's just not.
I like Damon something. A lot. I don't like Holland that much.
I think he's. I don't like Holland either.
Yeah. I like Holland.
I think it was nice to see him like act.
Yeah.
And like actually, you know, capital A, do something. But right. Like Matt Damon just wasn't my Odysseus.
I like everything
about. I
don't know
who is, but he's right, yeah. Not. And the movie. It rips. Like, it's so good. I think the fucking bow and arrow guitar strum.
So good.
I was like, oh, this is one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. The scene where it's the fucking sirens. There are so many things in this movie that are perfect, but it's perfect because everything looks good. Everything is technically sound. Everything is beautiful.
It looks real. Everything looks real.
You feel feelings.
Yep.
And everything is real.
The only thing
is so good.
The only thing that I like bounced off of was the very end with the fight scene where I was just like, all right, like, I mean, like all of these guys like that. That's the only part that like started to feel like a little like for whatever reason, the Cyclops didn't bother me. You know, the pigmen did like none of that. Cyclops was amazing. Like everything else, it was him like being just like, I'm just gonna, you know, kill everybody in this room right now. I was like, all right, all right.
Man. I liked how much in that sequence Robert Pattinson felt like a Batman 66 villain. Especially when what is Logan Marshall Green or whatever his name is like is throwing stuff down the hall and he keeps being like, grab the sword, grab the shield,
use it.
It's gone now.
Dude, dress up like Ricardo Montalban Joker and this performance would fit.
Yes, 100%. I love him in that final scene is fantastic. Like Pattinson.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that's the only part that I bounced off of Anne Hathaway. Yeah. I also think like for like, you know, also fantastic in this movie as well. So like, you know, really, really good just all around.
I do need to see this again. I've only seen it once, which for me feels like huge criticism for stuff like this. Like it feels weird that I haven't seen this a second time. I'm wondering how much I was affected by having seen The Return in the last couple of years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like The Return. Movie. Yeah. Ralph Fiennes being ripped.
Yeah, he's all yoked.
So you kind of spend this whole movie being like, oh, so how is this going to pair compared to The Return? Because you're seeing a lot of scenes that are in that.
Yeah.
But also the big part is like towards the end. So it's like weird, like trying to wait for it. I was shocked how much I didn't really care about Big Guy Island.
Oh, I enjoyed that. I mean, I didn't think it was like, it's not like a long enough part to like.
That's when I went to the bathroom.
Yeah,
that's like a good place to go to the bathroom.
It's like it's so short
to go, and I know this isn't going to be long. And I'm at an age now where I say I do look up when do I pee.
But I just feel like
Argus rules.
I like the story he gets out of this. The sort of like war is terrible.
Yep.
And if Odysseus feels this way by the end, he should hate what he did in Troy, especially like how disgusted he is and he becomes about the horse.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I think that makes a whole lot of sense. I just don't think you need the whole movie to tell that story.
I mean, no, I get it. I like the piecing throughout. I like it almost feeling like, just like the PTSD nature of it all, of like, oh, like how they will get there.
I like the Calypso stuff.
The Calypso stuff is great.
It was a good framing too.
How they're haunted by these events forever, and like how there is no like saving grace from it, and basically like how this has cursed humanity forever as well.
So like a lot of that stuff, I was like, oh, I know those are story beats of the Odyssey, but I don't think they are really telling the story you're trying to tell right now, or adding to the story you're telling right now. Because I think by the end of it, you're still successful in the story you're telling.
True.
Because I think the things that add to that and are so incredible are the Circe sequence.
Yeah.
So I think Elliot Page in Hades is incredible.
Yes. That was great. Yeah. That whole Hades sequence.
That's the sequence of the movie for me. And I'm just like,
The Iceland, like black. That's crazy.
Between that and Circe, I'm like, these scenes tell this story.
And it's all real. Like, it's and all if, freaking
if, real. If you're going to like pump up the fall of Troy as his like this terrible thing he did against the laws of Zeus, then we almost don't need the Cyclops scene, because that's just him doing the same thing that he did again.
It is interesting that like for the whole Cyclops scene, like the hubris of like, you know, from the text of us, like my name, like, you know, I'm nobody, to like being Odysseus and like never actually doing that to, it was interesting that that part was cut. Because it never really felt necessary as well when you saw it, and like, well, they do it, and like, why are you shooting him now? And you're kind of being a dick. And then Poseidon like takes his revenge still. Like, I think it was all very.
Yeah. So if he's so haunted by being terrible in Troy,
why did he do that?
We don't need him to be terrible as well to the Cyclops. We can
That's true.
But that's a sequence you can't cut. I think you can cut Big Guy Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't, and you can't cut Circe.
You can't cut Circe. That sequence rules. Is gross. I love the makeup effects he does.
So good.
That thing. It's. I think that all really works. I don't. The whirlpool sequence and like the weird monster in the rock who you don't really get any sense of what the hell it is, and the CGI is kind of boring. Like, I get not being that deep because clearly Nolan doesn't want to do that. Like,
right? Yeah. No interest in doing it.
Yeah, so I don't know. Overall, it's weird to be like, I don't feel like this movie is too long. I think it's the scenes that work for it are a little far between each other.
That's fair. It's fair.
And maybe I'll love it a second time around. Who knows? But I would say it looks incredible. It is a wonderful job by everyone. I didn't bounce off Matt Damon like Russ said. Tom Holland, I like. Everyone's like, well, Tom Holland doesn't really seem to fit. I was like, perfect casting then.
Like,
you're supposed to think that kid can't do any of this stuff.
And right, which is true. That's fair. That's fair.
Like,
that's
perfect casting then.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, I thought that like everything, like even if you are like you know right about like kind of it. All of the moments maybe like not matching up exactly right for telling it. It felt like there, again, that pacing, that energy, that like editing style just like lends itself to being able to like almost be able to move on and forget most of the time if anything did bother me. Yeah, I'll definitely be watching this again. I'll have spent like a good like 12 hours of my life watching The Odyssey by the end of this year.
Did either of you get to see it in like true blue IMAX?
No, it's still freaking sold out at Lincoln Center.
Yeah, you can't find tickets to it. I didn't get to see it in that. And in my most like old man yells at cloud, I'm a little annoyed about this culture of IMAX now.
I know.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, listen,
because it's getting people to actually physically go to the movies again, and we need
it's
that.
True. Yeah.
But also,
I hate that it's coming at my expense.
But why not a 4DX?
There's sold out 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. screenings.
I tried to go to a 3 a.m. screening. I couldn't. Like, yes. I was going to be one of those people, and like I couldn't get tickets to it.
Apparently, well, there's also ticket scalping for this.
That's also ridiculous. Yeah,
which dumb. If my biggest complaint is going to be if this does not lead to the production of more IMAX theaters in the biggest city in the world.
Oh well, yeah, that they're this here was at all. Yeah.
Pointless. Like,
yeah. Right.
If there's not another 70mm IMAX theater in this city in the next 5 years, I don't know what Hollywood wants or what
there really should be. It's crazy that there isn't, that there is, like, you know, there's like the 70mm, what, in the Village, there's like a 70mm a screen, but like not IMAX. And then Lincoln Center is the only 70mm IMAX. And there's the IMAX that's at like in 42nd.
Yeah. So people are coming from like three states to see it here in Lincoln Center.
Yeah, it's like the freaking marathon. Get out of here. It's for New Yorkers.
No. So make a fucking build another one. Like, I don't know what AMC wants of their future if they don't do this. Like, the big scuttlebutt for, as we're talking about with Doomsday or Dune was going to move off their release date because if you don't control IMAX screens,
right? Yeah,
you have nothing. And so Doomsday and Marvel created like a fake viewing experience.
It's what?
It's like something.
Infinivision and Infinity Vision.
Why do I care? Like, that's so dumb. I it annoys me that that's actually a thing. The reason, like, the Ziegfeld never should have, like, just bring it back. You know what I mean? Just like bring back the Ziegfeld, bring back just like a giant screen or freaking Netflix, like do something. Yeah. You've got the Paris there. It's a one screen theater already. Like, you could make it's a decent size. Like, I don't know. You could do something there. You could do something where the old Ziegfeld was if you really wanted to. Right. There are plenty of screens that are around that you could be doing something with as well. Yeah.
Used to be the thing. IMAX screens only existed in museums. Let museums open up their IMAX screens. Like, do fucking Planetarium would do one. Like,
Moving Image should have an IMAX screen. There's no reason.
I think if they found funding to that, that would be incredible for them.
Yeah.
And it's I find it slightly annoying that you have to fight for this stuff. And like, especially for me, like in the summer right now, most movies I see are like before 2 p.m.
Yeah. I can't believe you can't actually get
so the I can't find a ticket to this.
It's crazy. That's so crazy.
So dumb.
And I like sitting in the front and I find a ticket to this. So that annoys me. So I didn't even try for Dune 3 and I'm going to be annoyed when Dune 3 comes out and I can't find a fucking ticket to it.
But you can get that popcorn bucket, I'm sure.
See, that I'm okay with. If you want to jump like that, go right ahead. But like, I don't know. I don't know how you don't see the last 3 years of movie going and say, I think we should build another IMAX screen.
Because people keep saying it's dead. You feel like it's like every like 6 months, people are just like, oh, movie going is dead again. And then like, you know, Obsession comes out and makes 3,000 times the amount that it costs to make, and then Spider-Man comes out and it's the biggest movie literally of all time, and The Odyssey has made the most money of, and like in 1 year, in the span of a month,
in the span of that happened, all of those things happened.
Like, put some money behind it again. People actually want to go out there and do it. And on that note. Oh, you can find us on the web at moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find Russ on all the social medias. Probably. I don't know. You might be posting. I'm not sure.
All of them, and I don't post anymore.
As Russ Incredible. You can find Peter as 12 Angry Peters on Letterboxd. You can find me as Johnny Tiggs on Letterboxd and Strava. Alex will probably be here next time. We promise not to wait another 3 months. We will do something soon. We literally can't. Let's do something again. I don't know what's coming out soon, other than Doomsday, but
I definitely don't either. But don't worry about it. We'll get there.
We'll be back. Yeah, exactly. We'll look at what's coming out. I know that used to be everyone's favorite segment of this podcast was when we talked about what was going to come out next and how we wouldn't be waiting 3 months to do a podcast, and then, you know, we did it.
Tony goes wide tomorrow.
Okay, we'll be seeing Tony, good old Tony, pretty Tony.
I'm Dog Stars, that Ridley Scott movie.
I'm interested.
Coyote versus Acme, which I'm very excited for.
I am very excited for that.
I am excited for.
This is the new Insidious movie.
Oh yeah,
like what is that? Insidious 6.
It's like 60. I don't even know. Insidious.
No, because in City, wasn't the last skeleton key? No, I can't think. The last key.
It was
key,
like the red door.
The red door?
There's the
or is that Sinister?
There's that movie Buddy from the creator of Too Many Cooks.
Oh.
Which I watched Too Many Cooks last week.
So nice. Good. I will say again, if you guys have not seen the Adult Swim U-Logs.
Oh, it's horrifying.
They are both secretly films.
Okay. I will see that.
They're wild.
They're a good time.
I can't believe there's a fall too.
I don't even know why that's possible.
I kind of want to see it.
I mean, I'll definitely see it. Don't get me wrong. I'm 100% going to see that.
See it. Do everything you can.
I will be. Do not worry. I will be seeing. I will be seeing every single bit
for
of it.
No reason.
For just no reason whatsoever. Just see it all. Go whenever I can. Just walk out there. Go to the Rat Theater. See it all in the Rat Theater if I need to.
Live with the rats.
I will go and live with the rats. Last Pickpocket in New York, probably going to be coming out at some point soon. Yeah. That'll be good.
For me, as I put my foot down, and please hold my feet to the fire when I say I am not seeing by any means.
It looks like a movie that would have been at the beginning of Tropic Thunder.
Why did they give him
such a fucking stupid ass nose?
35th anniversary of Terminator 2. That's cool.
Your name is in theaters right now.
I saw that. Yeah, it's like the 10-year anniversary or whatever, right?
Yeah, it feels too soon. I can't.
We literally talked. Oh my god!
We've been doing this for a minute, huh?
That made two best of lists in consecutive years. Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger, obviously out soon in theaters. We'll all be there. All right, Practical Magic 2, in for it. Saw the trailer for it last night in front of Oak Street, and I was just like, this looks bad. And then 2 minutes in, I was just like, I think I need to see this. So
please,
I'm ready.
Russ and I watched that first movie last year, this year.
Yeah, last year.
After like a conversation with some of our friends, and we're just, and that movie makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it's
in terms of like, how does a movie not exactly have a plot?
Yeah.
And I would pay you to try to guess what happens next as you watch that movie, kind of thing. That movie is.
And you can find out if he does pay us to find out what's happening next in this sort of thing next time on the movie podcast.